Well, we're continuing our study through 1 John, and today we're going to talk about how to spot a false prophet a smile away. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. You know, people like to talk a lot about, is the glass half full or is the glass half empty? Well, you know, an optimist says the glass is half full, and a pessimist says the glass is half empty. A realist says, well, that's a glass of water. But any of you who are an engineer or know an engineer says, that is a glass that is exactly 2 times larger than it should be. And an opportunist says, I'm going to drink that glass of water. Sometimes pessimists seem to be a little skeptical of people, and optimists tend to be a little gullible. Well, you know, when it comes to spiritual skepticism, John is saying here that we all ought to have a good, healthy dose of spiritual skepticism. We need to test the spirits because, folks, did you know that not everybody you watch on television or on the internet or online, did you know that not all of them are speaking the truth from God? Did you know that yet? There are a lot of false prophets out there. And a false prophet is just a spiritual scammer. And we live in an age where people are being scammed. Maybe you heard this week that Bernie Madoff died in prison at age 82. Bernie Madoff had built the largest Ponzi pyramid scheme in history. He cheated $65 billion out of investors. And there was a religious slant to this because Bernie Madoff was Jewish. And so a lot of Jewish organizations, particularly Orthodox Jewish organizations and families, had invested money with him, and he had promised them amazing returns, and then they all lost it. They were guilty of being scammed. Well, the same thing can happen spiritually. But you know, it's a lot worse when you're spiritually scammed, because if you are scammed financially, all you lose is money. But if you give in to a spiritual scam, you could lose the destination of heaven. And that's what John is warning about here. Let's go to 1 John 4, 1, and if you're welcome and willing and able, you can stand with me as we read this passage of Scripture. 1 John 4, 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Well, this is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now it is already in the world, meaning the spirit of Antichrist. And then he starts talking to the church. He says, you are from God, little children, and you have conquered them because the one, see if this sounds familiar, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. We just heard that song. They are from the world, talking about these false prophets, and therefore what they say is from the world, and the world listens to them. We, meaning the church, we are from God. Anyone who knows God listens to us. Anyone who is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deception. Let's pray. Father, because there are so many spiritual scams going on all the time, and because even Christians are so gullible at times, we need your protection, we need your guidance, and we need your wisdom. And I pray that whoever has ears to hear will hear your voice today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Did you notice the Bible says that there are two spirits operating in this world? There's the spirit of truth, and there's the spirit of deception. Now, we know the spirit of truth is the Holy Spirit, because in John chapter 16, Jesus said, when he, the spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And if you have the spirit of truth living in you, he will guide you to truth. But also, there's a lie going around in the world, many lies. And in John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus said this about the devil. He is a liar, and he is the father of all lies. Now, you see, as a pastor, that word means shepherd. One of my most important roles is to protect the sheep. And so I want to protect you from heresy. I want to protect you from false prophets. I want to protect you from being misled by spiritual scammers. And so in this message, I want to talk to you about how you can distinguish between a false prophet and a true messenger of God. All right? So first of all, let's talk about the test of a false prophet. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said that there will be wolves in sheep's clothing who come among you. Now, just think about that graphic analogy for a moment. Here's a hungry wolf who is deceptive enough to put a fleece around his shoulders, and he slips into the flock, and the reason he does that is to camouflage himself, and then when he has the opportunity to find a weak, young, perhaps a lamb that is separated, he devours it. And Jesus said there are people like that in the world. They appear to be sheep, but they are wolves in sheep's clothing. Now, I think you can judge false prophets in three areas. In fact, I think you need to judge every speaker you ever hear in these three areas. Number one, judge every messenger by their content. By the content, what are they speaking about? Because he writes that every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God, but every spirit that doesn't is not from God. There are many false prophets, and you know, sometimes they say the right thing some of the time. Have you ever heard the expression, a stopped clock is right twice a day? Well, that's only true of analog clocks. Now, with digital clocks, I guess we have to say a stopped clock is right once a day, and it's usually just flashing 12, 12, 12, 12, 12. Heard about a guy that went in the store and said, I want to buy a clock. The guy said, analog? He said, no, I just want a clock. You'll get that a little later. So just like a stop clock is right some of the time, false prophets sometimes speak some truth, but you can tell by their content. Now, you'd think I would talk about some of the dangerous cults that are out there as being false prophets. I could talk about Mormonism. I could talk about Jehovah's Witnesses, because they don't believe what we believe about Jesus. And if you ever want to find out what they believe about Jesus, just go to the internet and Google it. Just make sure you're not reading from a site that is like a Latter-day Saint site, all right? Find some neutral Christian site like BeliefNet or Berean Research or anything like that, and you can find out what Mormons really believe about Jesus Christ. Because if you ask them, they'll tell you, oh, we believe the same thing you believe about Jesus, and they do not. Instead, I want to talk to you today about a growing problem that I have detected over the last 10 years, and that is the rise of the neo-Pentecostal charismatic prophets, people who call themselves prophets and are predicting the future. And I may make some of you mad by saying what I'm going to say over the next few moments, but I just want you to know I love you. You can fire me before I retire if you don't like what I have to say. But I just want to tell you, I'm going to speak truth today, that a lot of this neo-Pentecostal charismatic prophecy types, they have infiltrated conservative politics. They really have. Now, I consider myself to be conservative theologically, conservative politically. I do, but there's this group of, can I call them religious nuts, that have slipped in and have taken over. They have hijacked some of our beliefs and things, and they're the ones that are causing all the problems that we have in the world even today. I mean, let me just give you one example of one, because some of you might have read some of his books, and I know a few years back, some of you asked me about him, and I wasn't really to give an evaluation of him, but I am now. His name is Jonathan Cahn. He is a rabbi, quote, pastor in New Jersey, and he wrote a book called The Harbinger. Some of you read that book. And in this book, he claims that the 9/11 attacks were prophesied in the book of Isaiah. Now, you may remember, if you read my first novel, The Cloud Strike Prophecy, I said that the 9/11 attacks were prophesied in the Dead Sea Scrolls, okay? But that was fiction, okay? Fiction. It was a novel. It didn't happen. But he says he really does believe, and I've read the book, I've read the passage, and I think there's no way you can connect it. And then he wrote another book that's called The Mystery of the Shemitah, in which he predicted that on September 13, 2015, a tragic event would happen in America that would change the face of America forever. And guess what? It didn't happen. Nothing happened, even though he predicted it would happen. Then, in 2018, he wrote a book called The Paradigm, in which he said and claimed that President Donald Trump's election to president was prophesied in the Old Testament. And then he also prophesied that Donald Trump would be elected for 4 more years in 2020. Not just Jonathan Comer. There's a whole bunch of these internet prophets that predicted that Trump would be reelected. And by the way, when he wasn't reelected, they said, well, there's a mistake somewhere. The election was stolen, and we're just going to make sure he does become the president. And folks, a lot of that, some of these prophets were behind some of the things that happened in Washington, D.C. on January the 6th. A lot of them are tied into this QAnon conspiracy. If you don't know what QAnon is, don't check into it. It is an absolute hoax, but they have hijacked 2 Corinthians 7:14. They have hijacked Great Awakening, and it is a total hoax. And I just want to say with all the love I can say, you cannot follow Q and follow Jesus at the same time. These are false prophets. And you say, well, some of these guys, they do predict things that happen. Well, okay, they do. They claim that Nostradamus did too, and Jonathan Cahn was a big student of Nostradamus for many years. But not all they say comes true. So they may be even true some of the time, or it may be even most of the time. But does that meet God's standard? It does not. Let me give you God's standard for a prophet. You find it in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 22. When a prophet speaks in the Lord's name, and the message does not come true or is not fulfilled, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Do not be afraid of him. Folks, God's standard is if a prophet is right only 99% of the time, they're wrong 1% of the time, that makes them 100% a false prophet. You see, there are all these people out there, folks, on the internet, on YouTube, and they're predicting all these things happening. And folks, I just want to tell you, we don't need those kind of prophets because we have the Word of God. We have a more sure word of prophecy. So any speaker you listen to, me included, you judge them by their content. And number two, you judge every messenger by their character. By their character, what kind of lifestyle do they live? And we all know that there have been many, many moral failures by religious leaders. I could just tick off the list. It would take us a long time to talk about all the religious leaders who've had moral failures. And you know, the book of Jude says something about that. Maybe you didn't know there was a little book in the Bible called Jude. It's stuck over there right beside Revelation. And sometimes you don't even know it's there. And then when you discover it, you say, hey, Jude. And Jude was the half-brother of Jesus. Half-brother, they had the same mother, but different daddies. You know what I mean? And God willing, Pastor Michael and I are going to be preaching through Jude this summer. But in Jude, there's only 25 verses, but the fourth verse of Jude says this, I say this because some ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches, saying that God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives. The condemnation of such people was recorded long ago, for they have denied our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. I could talk about a lot of famous people who have had moral failures, but we'll just talk about one who is here in East Texas. Maybe you didn't know we were that famous. Worldwide Church of God was founded by Herbert W. Armstrong, and at its height, it had over 100,000 members and was bringing in $70 million a year. Herbert W. Armstrong handed it over to Garner Titt Armstrong, who actually ended up here in East Texas, lived out at Emerald Bay. They operated Ambassador College, which is now the Alert Academy out in Big Sandy. They had a lot of things going on, but Garner Ted Armstrong was a dynamic speaker. He was a mesmerizing speaker, but he was a very immoral man. In fact, the church excommunicated him, even as the head of the church, they excommunicated him for immorality. I hate to say this, but he slept with so many women that there was a book that was called In Bed with Ted. I'm not kidding you. That was the name of the book. But every time he was kicked out of one church, he would start another church. And then he'd get kicked out of that church. And he died just in 2006 right here in East Texas. But he made this statement one time. Garner Ted Armstrong said, "What you do in your private life is strictly between you and God. What you do in your public life is what other people are to see." Isn't that sad? He is so wrong. The truth of the matter is, brothers and sisters, what you do when you are alone and nobody else is watching, that determines your true character. So he was living a two-faced life. He said, "I can live any way I want to privately, just as long as publicly I live another life." And we've all known religious leaders who basically say, do what I say, but don't do what I do. So you judge every messenger by their content, every messenger by their character. Number three, every messenger by their commercialism, by their commercialism. I can remember growing up as a boy in South Alabama, and one Christmas I got a transistor radio. But if you're thinking one of those little bitty things, no, it was a big one. I mean, it was a big transistor radio. And at night, it was AM radio, all we had back then. At night, I could tune it in. And you know, at night, you can pick up AM stations from hundreds of miles away because at night, those radio waves bounce off the ionosphere. So I could sit in South Alabama and listen to station in New Orleans. I could listen to WGN in Chicago. And so I'd often listen to WGN in Chicago. And that's the first time I heard this preacher. He called himself a preacher. His name was Reverend Ike. And Reverend Ike was probably one of the first prosperity preachers. And he would say it's not the love of money that's the root of all evil. He would say it's the lack of money that is the root of all evil. And he preached, if you want to be rich, send me all the money you got. I mean, that's the simple formula. You want to be rich, send me all the money you have. And so that idea of the prosperity gospel is really spread throughout the world, and it's doing great harm, especially in Africa. In fact, the Bible talks about warning events about people who are only in leadership roles in faith for greed. Look at 2 Peter 2:3. They will exploit you in their greed with made-up stories. Their condemnation pronounced long ago is not idle, and their destruction does not sleep. So, I mean, if you look at the lives of some of these tele-evangelists, and somebody said during COVID, every pastor became a tele-evangelist because we were all on television. But you look at some of these who are always asking for money. I mean, what is it? And their private jets, they just aren't content with one private jet. They have to have more private jets. Maybe you've heard of Jesse Duplantis. He's a charismatic televangelist in Louisiana. He already has three private jets, but he said recently that God told him that he must raise $54 million to buy a Falcon 7 jet, private jet, so he could fly overseas without refueling. And he's good buddies with Kenneth Copeland right over here in Texas. And Copeland has lots of jets. His latest one, Kenneth Copeland bought a Gulfstream 5 for $30 million from Tyler Perry. One time, Jesse Duplantis and Kenneth Copeland were on the same program, and they were talking about why they didn't fly commercial. And here's what Kenneth Copeland said. He said, "Flying commercial," and I quote, "is being stuck in a long tube with a bunch of demons." That's what you guys are, okay? You're the bunch of demons in a long tube, so that's why they need private jets for their ministry. And they're milking people out of millions and millions and millions of dollars. And as I said, I've seen firsthand in Kenya and Uganda and Tanzania the damage of this prosperity gospel, which is not a gospel. It's a terrible heresy. I mean, these preachers, they go over there and they're in a stadium and they tell somebody to put their hand in their pocket or their purse and bring out all the money they have and hold it up. And then they tell them to dedicate it to God, and they dedicate it to God, And then they say, you come down and you lay all of that money on this platform and God will reward you 100-fold. And they come forward by the hundreds and place their money there. Folks, and these are people that they don't have running water. They don't have electricity. And it's sad to see how some of these pastors over there are taking such terrible advantage of them. One of them in South Africa is a pastor who calls himself Prophet Barara. Prophet Maboro, M-B-O-R-O. He pastors, listen to this, I love the name of his church, the Church of Incredible Happenings. I'd like to be a part of that church. The Church of Incredible Happenings, where they have to have miracles happen every Sunday. In fact, one Sunday, he raised a guy from the dead out of a coffin. It's on YouTube. You can look it up. Just go Resurrection Stunt on YouTube, and because there's lots of parodies of it. And it wasn't a real miracle. It was just a setup, and it's almost comical the way they do it. And he said that this man had been embalmed, and their two funeral companies in that city are suing him because they said, we never saw this guy. It's a total fake, but see, that's the kind of thing he does. The latest thing from Prophet Barara, Mabaro, is that he claimed a couple of years ago on Easter, he was transported to heaven. Yeah. And while he was in heaven, he took some pictures with his iPhone. I mean, I would too, wouldn't you? So guess what he took pictures of in heaven? Anybody want to guess? A selfie. A selfie. And now he sells those pictures to his radio and television listeners for 5,000 Rand, R-A-N-D in South Africa. That's about $350. And he is raking in the money. And he has said the next time he's in heaven, he's going to live stream. Okay, so let's be waiting for that. And these mega rich pastors, they're preaching to people who are so poor, but they're demanding they give them all their money. You judge a messenger by their content, by their character, by their commercialism. And you're saying, oh, pastor, this is just terrible, all these bad preachers around the world. But you know, the amazing thing is that as rotten as they are to the core, did you know God can even use some of those? He has, and he can. You remember Paul was writing that letter to the church at Philippi when he was in prison, and he talked about some of these people who are preaching Christ out of selfish ambition. And I think the folks wanted to get rid of them or something. And here's what he said in Philippians 1:18. Paul wrote, what does it matter? Only that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice, yes, I will continue to rejoice. As bad as some of these false prophets are, believe it or not, some of the message is getting through, and God is even using some of them. They'll have to give an account before God, but some of the people that hear their message come to Christ. You know, I had a professor in seminary that said God can strike a mighty lick with a crooked stick. So God can do a lot of things, even if the instrument is not perfect. Well, that's the false prophets. Let's compare that in contrast. What about the testimony of a faithful servant? How do you pick out a faithful servant compared to a false prophet? And in fact, John says, we are from God. And he says, everyone who knows God listens to us. Three ways you can always pick out a faithful servant who's sharing the word. Number one, a true messenger identifies with the Son of God. Identifies with the Son of God. Every spirit that preaches that Jesus is Christ in the flesh is from God. In fact, that's it. Look again, 1 John 4:2, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. A good preacher, a good teacher always starts at any text in the Bible and they make a beeline for Jesus. Now, you know, there's something that we have today that John didn't have and these Christians to whom he wrote did not have. You know what it is? It's the gospel according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the epistles, it's Acts. It's the revelation we have that we can read. They didn't have it back then. And so their number one topic, they just always started wherever they were in the Bible. And they only had the Old Testament, and they went directly to Jesus. How much does a messenger talk about Jesus? And I've discovered the older I get that when children are little, they're really cute and fun, but they all become teenagers. Have you all discovered that? I can remember when my oldest daughter, Jenny, was about 5 or 6. She did this cute thing. We would be at somebody's house, and I would, you know, put her out like a show dog, which is the wrong thing to do, and say, "Hey, Jenny, show them how your daddy preaches." And she always would do the same thing. She would take both her hands, and she'd put them up like this, and she'd say, "Come to Jesus." That was it. Come to Jesus. Everywhere you went, "Hey, Jenny, imitate your dad's preaching. Come to Jesus." And of course, everybody laughed. That is so cute. But, you know, looking back on that, I thank God that of everything she heard me say in the years she was growing up, those were the three things that caught with her: come to Jesus. And one of these days when I'm no longer able to preach, I hope people will say about me, "That guy preached about Jesus." Every time he preached about Jesus. So a good messenger identifies with the Son of God. Number two, a true messenger is indwelt by the Spirit of God. This theme is repeated throughout 1 John, that Jesus died for our sins, he was buried, he rose again, and he ascended into heaven, and then he sent the Holy Spirit to come and live inside of us. And that's where we have that wonderful verse that we sang about, 1 John 4:4, "The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." Who's the one in the world? Well, that's the devil. Jesus called him the prince of the world. But we do not have to fear him, because the one living in us is greater than the one who lives in the world. And so, my friends, we don't have to fear the devil. Don't think of the devil as some lesser god or something. He is a fallen angel. And he and his demons want to destroy your life. They want to steal from you. They want to kill. They want to cause as much damage as they can. But Jesus has already won the victory. I remember I used to sing that song growing up that Martin Luther wrote, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And there was one part of the first verse that I kind of got confused, and I thought it was talking about God, because it says, "His craft and power are great." I said, "That sounds like God." "And armed with cruel hate." Well, maybe God hates sin. "On earth is not his equal." Oh, yeah, okay, well, that's probably God. But he wasn't talking about God. That's talking about the devil. And then he explains it later when he gets to the third verse. He says, "The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure." And then I love the next line. It says this. He builds up this huge, scary-looking picture of the devil. "On earth is not his equal. He's great. His hatred is great." Then he says, "One little word will fail him." One little word will, F-E-L-L. Like cutting down a tree, one little word will fail him. You know what that word is? "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That one word that always caused the devil to turn and run, knocks his feet out from under him, is the word Jesus. Jesus. And we have the Spirit of Jesus living inside of us. So a true messenger will always identify with the Son of God, indwelt by the Spirit of God. And number three, a true messenger is inspired by the Word of God. You know, we have this great resource. And as I said earlier, when John and when Paul and when Peter preached, they didn't have the New Testament. They had the Old Testament, so they had to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit to guide them and to give them the words to say. But then Peter is writing over in 2 Peter, and he said, "We have a more sure word of prophecy," meaning the written word of God, because he says, "We were eyewitnesses of his majesty." He said, what we have written down are eyewitness accounts of what Jesus did, what Jesus said. And my brothers and sisters, the reason we don't need some internet prophet telling us who's going to be the next president or when the next calamity or hurricane's going to come, the reason we don't need that is because we have the finished, completed Word of God. And the Bible says if anyone adds to this book or takes away from this book, their place in the kingdom will be taken away, and the plagues in this book will be added to them. We have all we need right here in the Word of God. It is inspired. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So I want to challenge all the Bible teachers and preachers in our church. Don't teach lessons. Don't preach sermons. Teach the Word of God. Preach the Word of God. You know, I was reading Jim Dennison's article this week, and he talked about how through the years a strange phenomenon has occurred, that sometimes people have been traveling through a global airport and they'll get stuck there for one reason or another and have to spend some time, and some of them even live there. In fact, the worst example of that was a man by the name of Mehran Karimi from Iran. He actually stayed in the Charles de Gaulle Airport from 1988 to the year 2006. That's 18 years he lived in the airport, and then inspired the movie The Terminal by Tom Hanks. He lost his immigration papers, and so he couldn't go out into France. He couldn't go into England. He didn't want to go back to Iran. He was going to be arrested, so he just stayed there. And finally, in 2006, he got so sick they had to take him to a hospital. And as Jim Dennison was commenting on that, he said, you know what, that is sort of a parable of our lives. Because when you go to the airport, that's not your final destination. It's just you getting ready to go somewhere. And how would you like to tell somebody, well, you know what, I just got back from a great vacation, and they say, where'd you go? You say, well, I went to DFW. Well, I stayed a week there at DFW, walked around and ate at all the places and looked at all the people traveling, and that's where we went on vacation. You never say that. That's not your final destination. Folks, planet Earth, it's just a big old airport, okay? This is not your final destination. We are here waiting to take the flight to heaven, and there's only one airline that's going to go, and that is Air Jesus, okay? You need to know that. False prophets will send you to the wrong gate, to the wrong destination, but true prophets will send you to the right gate. Jesus said, I am the gate. He who goes in through me will be saved. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know what's wrong with listening to a false prophet? Because they could send you to the wrong destination. But my brothers and sisters, when you listen to someone who identifies with the Son of God, is indwelt by the Spirit of God, and is inspired by the Word of God, they will give you the right information for the right directions for the right destination. So watch out. Wolves out there dressed like sheep, watch out for those false prophets, and you can spot them a smile away. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, that so much of your word is trying to keep us protected from the danger of spiritual scammers, people who take advantage of gullible people, ignorant people, people who don't know the Bible. I pray, Lord, you give all our members a deeply discerning spirit to test the spirits always to see whether they be of God. And Lord, deliver our congregation from internet preachers who have no church and all they have is a bunch of charts and prophecies. And may we dig into the Word of God only. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.